I think the sheriffs and the police officers who surround us believe in what they are doing just as much as we do. This is a battle for the heart and the minds, and we are involved in a debate. We are not adversaries. We are brothers and we are sisters trying to find our way through difficult issues and difficult times. We have gathered because we believe a great injustice has been perpetrated, and we will continue to speak out because it is our right as Americans to say what we believe without embarrassment or fear.
Here in the darkness, in front of City Hall, candles, lighters, flashlights are being lit, bringing a new brightness to this Tulia night, where 46 people were indicted, convicted, or accepted plea bargains, tantamount to guilty, because of a runaway drug sting operation, spearheaded by one Tom Coleman, using extraordinarily unorthodox and undocumented methods, his word held up in court against those he targeted after being given a list of alleged drug participants by the local sheriff.
To me, they was targeted at all blacks. I mean, and all young blacks, really. And, you know, I mean, it ain't like we dumb. We knew he was the police. He just say, can I get some crack? And he a white man that we don't know. I mean, it ain't like we was dumb. But a lot of my homeboys was arrested. And when they came to jail, they told me about it. I mean, and all they could say is, man, we couldn't put no clothes on, man. They had us out in boxes. The TV news was already there. Then my girl write me a letter when I'm in jail and tell me that the housing authority done already sent them eviction notice. I mean, it was like it was all one day. I mean, how would everything go that fast if they didn't have it planned? I mean, they wouldn't even let people put their clothes on. And they walking on TV news in boxes, hair messed up, no shirt, no shoes, no socks. I mean, you should have seen how that made them feel. I mean, that's just like taking your manhood.
When friends by shame are undefiled, how can I keep from singing?
Amen.
Yeah.
Reverend Doctor, we're here at the stroke of midnight in Tulia, Texas, walking from the public park to the downtown area, periodically crossing corners with patrol cars, police, sheriffs, highway patrol, and so on. What do you think is the historic significance of this moment?
Well, I think the historic significance is that it puts us in relationship to the liberation and freedom struggle that's been going on in this country and around the world for the last half century. It's important that we are lifting up many of the same issues in terms of human rights and freedom. It's important that we see the continuity between the civil rights struggle of the 60s and where we are now. I think that one of the ways in which those things that were gained and the progress that was made has been eroded is by the way in which the war on drugs has come and been a part of the way in which we've seen, you know, just the systematic, you know, deterioration of rights and personal freedom. So I think it's real important that we think of this moment not in isolation, but rather we think of it in the context of being a part of a much bigger struggle that's been going on for human rights and for justice and for freedom for a long time. The fact that the problem has been responded to purely in punitive terms instead of being responded to in ways that talk about education and prevention and addressing the real systemic problems that are at the heart of the problem. The fact is that people who are disenfranchised and people who are amongst the dispossessed are people who always are most vulnerable. And once again, that's manifest itself. So I think it's important for us to speak up, speak out.
Do you believe that the drug war and the communities targeted is just a new way of reinforcing Jim Crow?
Oh, clearly it's the new Jim Crow. I mean, all you have to do is look at the numbers and look at the way in which it has directly impacted the lives, especially of African Americans. I don't see how you could deny interpreting it that way.
And finally, is the war on drugs historically analogous in any way to what you have spoken of, Martin Luther King's declarations on the Vietnam War? Is there a change in leadership and consciousness taking place? Is there a comparison to be made?
I think there's a definite comparison to be made because it challenges the posture of this particular system in a way that I'm convinced causes folks to have to deal with the fact that what has happened is that the war on drugs has turned out to be a way in which people are profiteering and taking advantage of the of a position of disadvantage for others. I mean, if you look at the whole prison industrial complex, the way in which it's grown and the way in which it ends up being fueled by this, you know, so-called war on drugs, then you find yourself realizing that this is something that ultimately is being, that people are profiting from. Folks are, you know, they've come to have, you know, financial self-interest in perpetuating this war the way it is. It's not doing anything to end the war. You look at the number of prison beds that are being built, this whole pattern of mandatory sentencing that we have seen does nothing but continue to fuel that system. I call it the new black gold. It's like blind mining in the black community and taking people and incarcerating them. And they're making money off of it.
You've spoken also of the union among people of color and people who are whites. Is that significant tonight?
Oh, I think it's very significant. When you look at this group, it's not just one people, it's all people. They're Hispanics, they're Europeans, they're people of African ancestry, they're Native Americans. We're all here. We all recognize the fact that we're being victimized by this war and that we have to speak in one voice if we're going to end it.
In downtown Tulia, Texas, I'm Robert Knight. Thank you.
I am fine.